For most of us, learning a second or third language takes a ton of time and a ton of effort. I speak French, but not because of French classes. I only became fluent after being immersed in France and French-speaking Africa for years. Patrick Cox is here. He's the co-host of the podcast Subtitle. Same for you, Patrick.
Yeah, I kind of mastered Danish after I lived there, but I struggle with most other languages that I've attempted. I'm certainly no polyglot, that's for sure. But I'm here to tell you about polyglots and an ongoing study of the polyglot brain.
So polyglots, those are people who speak multiple languages, like three or four or five languages.
Yeah, and here's how little we know about them. Until quite recently, it was believed that polyglots tended to be, take your pick, male or gay or left-handed, none of which is true. We may know more soon, though, and here's why.
This is our magnet. This is our scanner. So we can actually go inside.
We're at a windowless lab at MIT. Lab manager Hope Keane is prepping a woman who's about to slide into a brain scanner, an fMRI machine, for a series of tests.
We have like a time course of where blood is flowing in your brain, and we know which parts of your brain are doing work during these different tasks that we're going to give you. And today we're doing language tasks, since you're a polyglot and know so many languages.
As far as the researchers are aware, this is the first modern-day study of the polyglot brain. Susanna Zurayski is the study's 23rd participant.
I speak Russian, English, French, Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, Bosnian, Serbo-Croatian, and also Ladino, which is the Spanish spoken by the Jews who were expelled from Spain in the 15th century.
Just the nine languages, plus a bit of Arabic, Hebrew, Hungarian, and Greek. And she doesn't study these languages in much of a formal way, in a classroom, repeating words, doing homework, which sets her apart from other polyglots.
You give them a grammar book and they just absorb it, you know.
Dudes, more men.
Yes, more men, yeah, that really like the grammar books. I would be bored out of my mind if I had something like that.
This is part of the problem in studying polyglots. Is the brain functioning the same way for grammar book learners as it is for someone like Susanna, who learns through conversation and singing songs? Scientists have been trying to figure that out for nearly a century.
I went to look at the brain of Emil Krebs, who was a German diplomat who died in 1930.
This is Michael Erard, who's written a book about polyglots.
And his brain, after he died, became part of a expert genius brain collection in Dusseldorf.
Krebs's brain was sliced into pieces and preserved, for good reason. In his lifetime, he acquired a proficiency in something like
68 different languages.
Recently, German neuroscientists took another look at Krebs's brain and found some anomalies, denser cell structures in certain unexpected regions. But the researchers couldn't be certain about the timeline.
Was there something about Krebs's brain that preceded his exposure to any of those languages that would have allowed him to build those structures faster, more durably than other people's brains would have been?
In other words, was Emil Krebs born with a predisposition for multilingualism, or did that develop over time? Erard says the scientists couldn't tell.
You can't surmise that from the slices of brain that I was looking at.
Which is why the MIT study of living polyglot brains offers more promise. Polyglot Susanna Zurayski is now inside the fMRI machine. She has earbuds on and she's being bombarded with voices. Sometimes she hears a familiar language.
On a certain day, an angel of God came to a young virgin named Mary.
Sometimes it's something less familiar.
Ihr Gott.
And sometimes it's gibberish. All the while, technicians are monitoring blood flow, which tells them which regions of the brain are most active at any given moment. Results so far have been a bit counterintuitive, says lab director Ev Fedorenko. The control group here are monolinguals, people who speak only one language. For them, the regions of the brain that are associated with language appear quite large on activation maps.
But for the polyglot, it looked like it was way, way kind of on the end of a continuum where these regions were small.
In other words, the polyglots were less, not more, engaged.
That seemed to be a real finding, which then we started interpreting because it seemed like a real thing. And the most kind of obvious, plausible interpretation is in terms of efficiency.
But this isn't a longitudinal study, so researchers can't fully answer the question, of whether polyglots were born with this efficiency or developed it over time. It's not a genetic study either, so we don't know if any of those traits are hereditary. However, lab director Ev Fedorenko suspects that polyglots are far from brilliant superhumans, just people who blend talent with extreme dedication.
Most brains can find ways to get good at things. And hard work will often get you a long way. Like, I think brilliance is often overrated.
Which comes as a relief to the rest of us. It's nice to know that learning languages doesn't necessarily require you to possess a superpower. For The World, I'm Patrick Cox.